You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We got a jam-packed show today, getting you ready for a lot of things, national more so than local. Unfortunately, there's really not a lot going on, except of, obviously Yankees taking on the Dodgers out west. The Mets, they're hosting the Blue Jays. So there's that. And we'll talk a lot of Major League Baseball. But obviously, NBA Finals taking place, the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets, dare I say sweep. Which, by the way, you can get them at 3-1 right now. I'll give you all the reasons why I would lay that. Curious if you agree or disagree. Nick Friedell is going to join us from Denver. So that'll be cool in about 27 minutes. We'll also hear from Om Yongmansook. So Nick Friedell is covering the Miami Heat. Om is covering the Denver Nuggets. So we'll hear from both of those cats today. Stormy Bonantani is going to join us. She's phenomenal, part of the XFL crew with ESPN, but really her wheelhouse is hockey, and she's from Las Vegas, and so she loves her some Golden Knights. So she's going to jump on board and give us a preview in regards to the Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers Stanley Cup series that kicks off, obviously. And we'll hear from Greg with get it out, Anita. Greg Wyshynski a little bit later on the show. As always, it's Saturday, so we'll hear from Joe Wiz. We'll get his picks and his plays. And, of course, we'll take your calls throughout. 800-919-3776. In regard to local, pertaining to the Knicks, Scott Perry let go from his duties as GM of the Knicks. No longer we Leon Rose or Worldwide West. So how does that make you feel? I think it's really interesting that this move was made. Because as we head into the summer, that is always active and attractive when it comes to the NBA, Knicks are going to have to make some decisions with the plethora of draft picks that they have, and who knows who's available to possibly go out there and get an Embiid, get a Giannis, I don't know, a Kawhi, a Luka, a Harden. Who are you willing to give up? You want to make sure that everybody's on the same page. I think it's interesting that that Scott Perry was released. So, obviously, that's big news in regard to the Knicks. You've got the Jets and the Giants still hosting OTAs. No action-packed OTA from Aaron Rodgers because he's still dealing with that calf issue. Is that a concern for Jets fans as we head into and we get closer, obviously, to the preseason? Is it a sign of things to come? Hopefully not for Jets fans. And for Giants fans, another OTA without Saquon Barkley. I played golf this week with Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network. And while we were out on the golf course, I asked him, I said, Mike, what do you think is going to happen here with Saquon Barkley? And he said he believes that they agree to a deal as we get closer to the season. So, and speaking to a number of other people, they feel the same way. So I don't think it's time to hit the panic button when it comes to the Giants either. So, but again, really not a lot going on here locally, unfortunately. It would have been great if the Rangers or the Devils or the Islanders, somebody would have been still active and attractive in the NHL postseason, let alone possibly the Knicks, but I know that was really, really wishful thinking. Again, we've got Harvey and Joe producing the show. When I first logged on prior to this show kicking off, you guys had a full bank of calls, and all of it was Yankee fans, as I saw. Now, I know the Yankees lost last night. Again, 8-4 to the Dodgers. A really interesting storyline here. Get this. Kershaw beat the Yankees for the first time. He's been in the majors for 16 years. He's been playing baseball for 16 years, and this was his first time beating the Yankees. 9 strikeouts in 7 innings. Mookie Betts, 2 home runs off of Severino. Of course, it was the first game back for Stanton and Donaldson, and they both got some action there. This is a Yankees team. They've lost 2 straight. They're sitting at 34-25. They are 6.5 games back to the Rays. The Orioles still in front of them. But here's the positive spin on this. And the positive spin is you got Gerrit Cole going today. Okay? 6-0 with a 2.93 ERA. And he's going up against a gentleman by the name of Michael Grove, who this will be his first start since back in April because of a groin strain. 0-1. He's got an 8.44 ERA. But bigger picture here, and looking to as topsy-turvy of a start to the season as it's been for the Yankees, they were still in the thick of it. If the season ended today, they'd still make it to the postseason. And they're just getting Stanton back. As we know, Judge was on the IL for a hot second because of his hip. What's all the fuss, guys? What was all the fuss this morning? What was all the negativity and the calls coming in? Explain it to us, please.
The main topic was that they want most people, some people,
well,
wanted.
Give me a percentage. Based on the calls that you took this morning talking about the Yankees, what's the percentage of people who want what?
60-40 want Anthony Volpe down to AAA. And they want Oswald Peraza, who's raking right now in AAA, to mm-hmm. be promoted.
Yeah, they wanted him last year. Was it Hicks? Who was it? It was somebody who... I'm trying to remember. Who was it last year that... He was out of options in regard to being sent down, or they wanted to get a better look at him up in the bigs. Do you remember who it was?
Talking about Cabrera? Oswaldo Cabrera?
Maybe, was it Cabrera? Wasn't really performing great. Who was it? I'm drawing a blank right now. But anyway, nonetheless. But listen, Volpe, he started the season strong. We see this. Not every Major League Baseball player is stellar throughout the entire Major League Baseball season. It's long as get out. It's an ebb and flow. So, out of curiosity, how many stolen bases does Volpe have? Do we know?
I believe it was 13 the last time I checked. I'll get to you in 0.5 seconds.
Okay. No rush.
I think that just passed the 0.5 seconds.
So the majority of calls were just Yankee fans calling in saying, send Volpe down?
He's got 13 stolen bases, yeah, because he's hitting 190 as of right now.
Okay.
But he's got 8 home runs, already has a walk-off to his name. I don't understand why. We just happened to be in June, and people want him down. It's a bit too early. My Siri just talked to me, but
what was that? It sounded like Siri there for a second.
But no, it's too early. Besides, I guess the other point of contention is that last year, we talked about Luis Castillo being an option to trade for at the deadline, and the mm-hmm. Yankees didn't do so because they were gonna call up Volpe no matter what. So it's early. So we're still in the thick of the wild card at least. Actually, it's still in the thick of the division, too. I mean, I believe we're like 5 games back, 6 games back?
6.5 games back. Games back to the Rays. Orioles are, 3 games back to the Orioles, 6.5 games back to the Rays. And again, if the season was to end today, the Yankees would still make it as a wild card. So, and let's be honest, this team has not met expectations based on the roster, based on the salary of this team as a whole. But they've been injury riddled. Let's be honest. I just don't understand. Would you say based on the phone calls you got today that would you call it a panic button? Is a panic button being pushed?
Oh, I mean, it's... We're Yankee fans.
It's a 5-alarm fire that doesn't need to be a 5-alarm fire. Yes,
a
I would say panic.
Fire.
I would say the panic button's being pushed on June 3rd there's no need to. Because, I, you know, what I think a lot of it is, you know, Volpe, to you know, no fault of his own, has been compared to Jeter. And when you're compared to arguably the greatest shortstop of all time, you know, you can only play so well before people get on you. And, yeah, I don't know why 50-something games into his major league career, Volpe is getting the hounds sent after him to be sent back down to AAA. And what do you want from him?
And here's another thing really quick. Like, is it fair?
No, it's not fair.
Is it fair that he was compared to Jeter?
Absolutely not.
I don't think that's some hefty expectations to put on a young man.
And, you know, just for the sake of argument, let's play the game. He gets sent down to AAA and absolutely rakes, bets, you know, 500 with four homers in 10 games. And you bring him back up and he's still like this. What do you want from the kid? You know, a caller did bring this up earlier. In the video that they put out on social media with Volpe getting called up, Cashman and Boone said, you have a lot of development still to be done, but we want it to be done at the major league level. So I don't understand why a vocal minority of Yankee fans are calling for Volpe's job when he's a 20-something-year-old kid 50 games into his major league season. To me, I would hope that this is just a blip on a very successful career. And, I mean, how many major leaguers struggle within their first 50 games of being called up to the bigs?
800-919-3776. We come back. We'll take your calls. Sharky wants to give me some credit for something. I don't know what, but I'll take it. We'll get your calls when we get back. Anita Marks with you here on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I thought every at-bat Giancarlo had was good. He was on time all night, all the way to that last AB where he works the walk. Obviously, JD, you know, really getting into a couple balls and hit a ball pretty well to third, too. So, yeah, good to see those guys come in and just be on time and obviously really impact the ball.
Booney talking about getting, again, Stanton and Donaldson both back, and they both homered yesterday. So there's that. The sky's falling. No, it's not. It's early. This team is still not at 100%. And who's to say what teams in Major League Baseball are really ever at 100%, and if they are, for how long? It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Sharky in Suffern. Sharky, welcome in.
All right, Anita. Sit back and soak up the love for a minute. First of all, Ty Butler, I hope he realizes how much of the he owes to you, because he's doing a great job and you took him under your wing and sent him on his way. Number two, when the football season starts, Anita, whenever you have Diana or Cynthia on, the name of the segment is, for now on, the Football Foxes. But mainly, Anita, what I want to go over with you is about 2 months ago, you came on the show. First, you came on your gambling show on Tuesday, Wednesday night, whatever, with Dave. And everybody was all over the Celtics and the Bucks and the Sixers. And for some crazy reason, the Suns and the Lakers. And Anita Mark says, take the Nuggets to go to the NBA, to the Western Conference Finals. Take the Nuggets to go to the NBA Finals. And take Jokic at +900 to win the MVP. Well, Anita, I have a feeling in a few days you're going to be walking out of the shoe store with a whole lot of new pair of shoes to go along with those sexy legs. Good job.
Sharky, thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate the call. So when the NBA, for folks that are listening, when the NBA playoffs just started, I just, more than anything, I felt like Denver was not getting any respect from the odds makers, and I didn't quite understand it. Like, I understand people here on the East Coast. It's hard sometimes. Games, tip-offs, out West, they start at like 10:30 at night. It's a school night. You're in bed. Sometimes you're sleeping even before the tip-off begins. So I would imagine that there was a lot of people out there who didn't watch a lot of Denver Nuggets games or even really know a lot about Jokic. And I'll be honest with you, I think that's a big reason why. There's a lot of reasons why he didn't win the MVP this year. But whoa, what a big swing and miss that was. What's Embiid doing right now? Nothing. Meanwhile, Jokic is putting up triple-doubles against every team that they have faced in the postseason. Just ridiculous that he didn't win another MVP this year, but that's a topic for a whole nother show. I just felt like the odds that you were getting for the Denver Nuggets to win the championship were just ridiculous, and because they were just not getting a lot of respect from the odds makers. And obviously now that ship has sailed. If you listen to me when the playoffs began, you'd be sitting pretty right now. So, Sharky, thank you. Thank you for that shout out. Let's go to, is it Colm? Colm calling in from the Bronx?
Yeah, Colm from the Bronx. Good afternoon, Anita. So,
hi.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the Knicks. You mentioned that the firing of Scott Perry. I don't know if you mentioned also that Julius Randle just got ankle surgery, I believe,
right,
just announced yesterday. So, and a lot of the trade scenarios that are going to be talked about is a lot of pie in the sky. You know, I doubt a Philly team would trade to New York for Embiid. And I doubt, you know, or the Celtics team trading or whatever. These are a lot of like crazy scenarios, but I'll give you a scenario that I think is obtainable. And with Julius Randle's injury, I think he obviously loses a little bit of trade value. I would go after Paul George, but with the caveat is you're not trading Julius Randle. You're adding that in. You would trade, you know, a couple first-round picks. You would trade Emmanuel Quickley, because Emmanuel Quickley right now needs a new contract. And the way he played in the playoffs, I don't think it would be the best thing to give him a lucrative deal. And also trade away, Obi Toppin. So you give them Toppin and Quickley, which are two young players with the ability to possibly take it to a next level of being legit NBA players, and a couple of first-round picks. And the Clippers are in a position where I don't think Embiid's going to play much next year, and they're probably going to start hitting the reset button very soon. And Paul George is an older player. He probably won't be that expensive in a trade, and he still has the ability to come in and, you know, perform at an all-star level.
I mean, it's good, and thank you for the phone call. It's good food for thought. At the end of the day, the Knicks are in a really good spot. They've got a ton of draft capital in regards to the number of first-round draft picks they have for the next several years. And they've got some really great pieces that performed well this season that added more value to a potential trade. In RJ, in Quickley, in Grimes, in Mitch Robinson. So, you know, I think the Knicks are in a really, really good situation in regard to which way they flow. I just think it's the timing in regard to Scott Perry being fired, I think is interesting. And I'm going to have Nick Friedell on the show momentarily. And obviously, I'm going to ask him about his thoughts on the Scott Perry firing and what he thinks the game plan is for the Knicks during the summer. Let's go to Tommy in Connecticut. Tommy, welcome in.
Good afternoon, Anita. How are we doing?
Great.
All right. Just wanted to touch back on what you were talking about with the Yankees earlier. When my call was being screened, I brought up the old saying, you know, you don't want to ever be the guy who replaces the legend. Well, we're four shortstops removed from Jeter at this point. You know, we had Didi, you had Glaber for a couple of years. IKF didn't work. It's not fair to hold him to that level. You know, they, like you said, in the video with Boone and Cashman, when they told him he made the team, They said, you're going to develop, but you're going to do it here. He's not going anywhere. You know, they're going to ride it out with this guy. And I think he's a great kid. He's a ball of energy. He's just, you know, he's going to have some struggles.
Yeah, absolutely. So Tommy, and thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. You and I are on the same page. Like, let's slow our roll here for a second. Who put that analogy on him, which I feel is very unfair right now at the start of the season? Derek Jeter is just, he was an outlier. He was special, kissed by God, different. It's just not fair. To have that type of expectation, especially this early in his career. Let's go to Jose in Brooklyn. Jose, welcome in.
Oh, thank you, Anita, for taking my call. Good afternoon.
Hi.
How's it going? Just wanted to, you know, sorry for changing paces. Just wanted to talk about the Jets and the Barnwell article because a lot of people have been bringing it up and kind of like taking shots at him for his view, and I really, you know, I totally get it. But the thing is, to me, as a Jet fan that was kind of skeptical for, you know, for the deal with Aaron Rodgers, we're always going to look back at the trade that it took to pull this off, because this is part of the sports media where we get to look back. And, you know, the Elijah Moore and the third rounder that was sent to the Browns to get that second round pick, and, you know, losing Broderick Jones and, you know, for the pick swap and everything else that, you know, resulted, is part of the narrative of going all in for Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think I felt like, you know, how certain people, especially within the morning show, you know, were attacking him. I thought that was a little unfair from my standpoint. We have to be fair.
Yeah, Jose, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. I do want to dive into that. We're up against a break. We're going to take it. We're going to come back. Nick Friedell is going to join us. We're going to continue to talk some NBA. I'll ask him about the Scott Perry firing. But I do want to circle back with that. And folks that are just listening, maybe you haven't read or heard about the Barnwell article. He pretty much ranked the Jets and the Giants, both franchises, towards the bottom in regard to what teams did this throughout free agency as well as the draft. And Barnwell's not a huge fan in regard to the Jets and all that they gave up to go get Aaron Rodgers and the money that they're spending on Aaron Rodgers. He actually threw out the notion it possibly would have been better to go out and get somebody like Teddy Bridgewater or make a better push for Derek Carr, save some money, spend that money elsewhere, where now you've got a very legit game manager with all the talent and weapons that you have here, as opposed to putting all your eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket with no commitment that he'll be back here in 2024. That's a conversation. It's legit. It's a legit conversation to have. Agree or disagree with Bill Barnwell. It's a legit conversation to have. We'll dive into that in the next hour or so as well. Okay, we'll circle back to that, I promise. Anita Marks with you on this Saturday afternoon. Nick Friedell joins us from Denver next here on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you on this Saturday afternoon, getting you ready for Game 2 of the NBA Finals. As we know, Game 1, boy, watch out. Denver, they ain't messing around. They are not messing around, people, especially at home. They have just been a force to be reckoned with, whether it's just that home court advantage, the thin air, the altitude, you name it. Nick Friedell joins us now here on 98.7 ESPN. Nick, good morning to you. Good afternoon to us, but you're joining us from Denver. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Anita. How you doing?
I'm great. Listen, dare I say Denver Nuggets sweep 3-1? We'll get there in a minute. I know you've got your finger on the pulse of the Miami Heat team better than most. What's the latest with Tyler Hero? Can he be a hero for this organization? Will we see him play in game two?
Anita, there's hope, certainly, and as Wood reported, they think there's a chance. You know, they want to see how he continues to go through the workouts, not only today, but I'm sure getting into tomorrow. I think at the latest, it's game three. It just seems like he's doing more and more. But they could use him, certainly, because that offense just does not have the type of guys who are going to be able to create their own shots and spread out the floor for everybody else, especially after game one when Strus and Caleb Martin went 1-for-17. So I think there's a chance. It depends on what happens here over the next 36 hours or so before tomorrow night. But if not tomorrow, it sure feels like it'll be game three.
You know, it's interesting, right? Because we know how good Hero was this season, and especially like helping the Heat in regard to their 3-point shooting. But he's been on the shelf for so long, Nick. You've got to imagine, you've got to assume that there's going to be, a game, a moment, some time in regard to getting back into the flow, right? So, like, you know, will he be an immediate impact? Will it have an immediate impact, or is it going to take a minute to kind of get that engine revving? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if it's an immediate impact, Anita, because you can't miss as much time as he has, and we're on about a month and a half now after he broke that hand, and expect to just get into a rhythm really quickly. So I would just be shocked if, even if he does return, he's playing any kind of big minutes. I think this is a guy who would come off the bench. He would try to give him a spark offensively. But you've got guys who have established themselves at this point. You have Vincent and Martin, especially Martin, who was so good in that Eastern Conference Finals series. And Strus, aside from his off night the other night, has made some big plays, and Duncan Robinson has hit some big shots. So Hero will help in whatever he can give them. But this idea that Hero is going to ride in on the white horse and just start raining down threes, I think that's a little overblown. It takes a lot for any player who's missed that much time to feel good coming back off of an injury and to plug anyone into the intensity of a finals game and expect them to perform at the same level we've seen maybe in the past. That's just asking too much.
Yeah, I feel you. Again, Nick Friedell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, let's discuss what went wrong and what potentially could go right. Jimmy Butler, right? 38 minutes, 13 points, 6 of 14. Is it because he just doesn't have a lot of gas left in that tank? From what I understand, this Miami Heat team went straight from Boston out west to Denver. They haven't had any home cooking, slept in their own bed, pet their own dogs, nothing like that. What is it going to take? What are your expectations for Jimmy Butler in game two?
Anita, he's got to be more aggressive. He knows that they only went to the foul line twice. That is a postseason record that nobody wants. But he's got to be that guy that sets the tone, to the point, though, about how much gas he's got left. Look, I've been around the Heat now over a month. Jimmy just looks like a guy who's tired. That is the reality. I think that ankle is still bothering him. He's never going to acknowledge that. But more than anything else, he's playing 40 minutes every night. He's asked to carry them on both sides of the floor. And over time, what we have figured out is that Jimmy's human, just like everybody else. So I expect him to play a lot better tomorrow, and by no means do I think that the Heat are going to just roll over in this series, because we've seen it too many times. They are tough as hell. This group believes they will always find a way. But specific to Jimmy Butler, having been around him all these years, Anita, I just think all of this has caught up to him a little bit. Now, all great players have a little something extra in reserve. That's what the Heat have to bank on. But if we're trying to figure out what's going on with Jimmy, I don't think this one takes a rocket scientist. I think he is just gassed after all the, not only the minutes, but the emotional toll that he's invested here during this postseason run.
I hear you. Not only that, the supporting cast, which performed so well against Boston, especially Caleb Martin, but Caleb, Max, Duncan Robinson, all combined for just 6 points, 2 of 23 from the field. Again, I know we just talked about Tyler Hero and how important it would be to get him back because these guys are just not delivering. Is this a case of them as well just being spent, or is this just a Denver Nuggets team that just plays better defense, are taller, bigger, and more physical against these you know, 6'5 players that the Heat are rolling out?
Anita, I think the key here is that Denver is just a really, really good team. And so much of the country doesn't pay attention to them because mm-hmm. they just don't have that big of a fan base. And people even here in Denver can't even watch most of their games because they're still going through a dispute with one of the cable companies. So there are a lot of factors here. But as far as the missed shots in game one, I think Strus and Martin will certainly be better in game two. They certainly were confident that one's going to be the case in that locker room the other night. But Denver is really good. They are really talented. They're deep. They've got a lot of defenders who know exactly what to do, and they're well coached by Michael Malone. So I'm not seeing that there's a lot of pushback for Miami as far as being able to turn all these different things around. I think their margin for error is so very small because Denver is so much better than any of these other teams that they face. And I know they played the Bucks earlier, and a lot was made out of winning that series, but Giannis was hurt. Middleton's still not looking exactly the same as he has in the past. Denver, to me, having watched all these different teams now, is very clearly the best team in the game. Now it's just up to them to finish the job here.
Again, Nick Friedell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. So with that being said, big picture here, game two, you've got yet again a Denver Nuggets team that's favored by 8.5, 9 in some places. We know how good they've been at home. Are you giving this Miami Heat any chance to cover, win? How do you think game two plays out, Nick?
I think they have a chance to cover, Anita, just because I think – the law of averages says that Strus isn't going to go 0 for 10 again. Caleb Martin isn't going to go 1 for 7. Where I would caution anybody who's trying to figure out what may happen tomorrow, though, is Bam Adebayo was awesome, especially offensively in game one. But that was because Denver was just giving him space to do whatever he wanted to do. Are you banking on the fact that he's going to have that kind of huge double-double again and be that kind of dynamic offensive performer? I think that's a stretch. And on top of everything else, why I'd be hesitant on any number in this game, Anita, I just don't think Denver played that well. I think they can play so much better, which, of course, mm-hmm. is a scary thought if you're Miami. But you looked at the end of the third quarter, Jokic had 6 shots, and he had all those assists, but you're like, you know, man, what happens if he just starts putting up shots all over the place? There's nobody who can really stop him. So Denver still has a great deal of promise to hit after what they did in game one. And it's why I'd be really, really scared. And Jimmy Butler's proved me wrong every time, Anita, but I'd be really scared to throw any money down on Miami making a huge comeback in this series. Just because I think Denver, from what we've seen, is just in a different class.
For folks out there, just to give you some statistics, again, Denver won game one, 104-93, so they covered. Halftime was 59-44, so they covered. I had the halftime spread at -5, covered there. I had the under at 219, that covered. Interesting, odds makers now have dropped that down to 214.5, 215, so that's come down a big deal. But Denver, from 3, 8 of 27, only 29.6%. and they still won. In fact, at one point in time, they led by 24. So I understand what you're saying. Like, listen, the supporting cast can't play that bad again. But at the same time, Nick, I don't think this Denver Nuggets team shoots that poorly from behind the arc as well. I'm looking at another blowout, to be quite frank.
And I think you are right on, Anita. And everybody should be listening anyway after nailing all the picks that you did in game one. But this is the issue for Miami. So much of what has gotten them through in these playoffs are they're just mentally tough. They figure that no matter what the obstacle is, they will find a way through it. But they haven't run into Jokic. Mm-hmm. And they haven't run into the supporting cast that is around him. And the point about the three-point percentage with Denver is very well taken, because when you see the way they were missing shots, they were getting clean looks. I mean, everybody was focused on Strus and Martin, and the Heat saying, oh, you know, we've got this. Well, guess who else was getting clean looks? Denver. And they just weren't making them. So there are a lot of reasons why I think Denver could run away with the game, but it's just why I just don't feel comfortable with any of the numbers as far as game two goes, because every time the Heat are counted out, people say, it's not going to happen. That, at least in this postseason, has been the time where they go, we got this. But again, and I can't stress this enough, I just don't think a lot of people understand how good the Nuggets are. And they are going to show that over time, over the next week and a half or so.
Nick, before we let you go, let's talk about the Knicks just for a hot second. News this week, GM Scott Perry has been with the Knicks, was with the Knicks since 2017, 2018, let go. Of course, we know he worked under, Leon and Wes as well. Your thoughts on this release? Does it paint a picture in regard to what maybe Knicks fans can expect this coming summer? What does this tell you?
Anita, when I saw it, I was kind of like, well, I know Scott Perry is a respected guy around the league, but I think you hit on the two names that are at the forefront of this whole deal, and it's Leon Rose and World Wide West. And when those two guys are at the top of your organization from a front office standpoint, I mean, again, Scott Perry has done some solid work across the league for a while, but when you have Leon Rose, who's negotiated a boatload of different deals over time, and you have Wes with the connections he has, and a lot of people have mentioned in the last couple of days, but they've got Gerson Rosas, who's been there now for a little bit, and he was in Minnesota. He's been in plenty of front offices as well. I kind of went, all right, I don't think that it is that big of a deal one way or another. In the end, if a player is going to end up there, it's going to be because they want to be in New York and they want that stage and the relationships either with Rose or with World Wide West. Those usually are going to be the ones that make the difference. When you have those type of powers that be already in place in an organization, a general manager, no matter whether who he or she may be, isn't going to change that part that much.
Just a few names, I'm hearing Embiid, I'm hearing Giannis, I'm hearing Harden, I'm hearing Chris Paul. We had a caller called in, said Paul George. Realistically, is everybody in play? Are they not?
I think the Knicks being the Knicks, and in New York City in the Garden, everything is in play in the sense that they will always be mentioned. But the Knicks have the same problem that a boatload of teams have across the league going into the summer, which is you have all these different names, but who out of those names is actually going to move? Because I tell you, the only person I felt that comfortable with out of that list that may leave is Harden, who may land in Houston again. But number two, if those guys aren't going to leave, then who out there is going to come in and you go, okay, we are that much better than where we were. So in the end, if we were putting money down on what happens this summer for the Knicks, I would say that the team that you saw leave the floor in game six against the Heat is going to look a lot like the same team that you see on opening night. The issue is, and this is a credit to what Leon Rose and that front office have done over the last few years, they've got all their assets. They've got all their picks. So if one of those guys, those stars, and we're talking about Embiid or, you know, whomever it may be, that pops free, they have the ability to make that kind of deal. I just don't know if you're giving up all the picks that it would take to get one of those stars. We've seen it plenty of times over. Look at the KD situation in Phoenix. How much better do you become if you have a star but you gave up all your depth to get that person in place?
It will be interesting to see how this all plays out, that's for sure. It's going to be a fun summer once this NBA Finals is over. Nick, you rock as always. Always so much appreciate your time. I know you're one of the busiest, hardworking guys right now on ESPN, considering you're covering this this Miami Heat team. So thank you so much.
You got it, Nina. Talk to you soon.
Nick Friedell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. A lot to dive into. I'll open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. Knicks fans, reaction to what Nick said. You know, are you willing? I want to say, was it a few weeks ago, guys? We had Bobby Marks on the show, and I asked him, what is it going to take to get one of these big-name players here to New York? And he pretty much listed RJ, Quickly, Grimes, Mitch Robinson, and five first-round draft picks. Would you do that deal for an Embiid? Would you do that deal for a Giannis? 800-919-3776. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Dare I say, sweep, you know, Nick hit the nail on the head. And let me ask you guys, again, Harvey and Joe producing the show, can you count on your fingers and toes how many times you saw the Denver Nuggets and Jokic play this regular season?
I mean, because Harvey and I work late during the week, I was turning on Denver Nuggets games as we were ending, you know, ESPN New York Tonight with Larry and Gordon, routinely, just because I love watching Jokic play. So I think I, you know, we're in the minority of people that actually watched, you know, 10 to 15 Jokic games throughout the year.
Interesting. Okay. Well, yeah, I think you guys are in the minority. That's for sure. And I know we called Porzingis the unicorn. I think we should be calling him the unicorn. I mean, he's just, he is so good for a big man. He is just everything. The intellectually, how he plays the game, so smart, how he makes everybody around him better. And when it is on him, how he delivers. And just the fact that he's just been able to average a triple-double is really remarkable. And it continues. He averaged a triple double at home throughout the regular season, and he's doing it now throughout the postseason.
He's a Martian. It honestly feels effortless the way he does it. Don't you think so? Don't you think he's like not breaking a sweat when he's out there?
Well, some people don't perspire.
Well, I mean, you get what I mean.
But he does. But he does perspire. He's always wiping his face and his nose.
Have I would hope so.
That? Yeah, but it looks too easy the way that he does it. Because you look
the way that he wipes.
No, not
off
that.
His nose?
The way that
yes, that's what he meant. Yes,
that's exactly what I meant. The way that he gets these triple doubles, you look at the box score at halftime. You know, it's 8, 10, and 5, and you're like, and were we watching the same game? It doesn't really. It seems like he can do it with his eyes closed.
It seems effortless. Yes, I hear what you're saying. 800-919-3776. Let's get to your call. Let's go to Javier. Javier in Queens, welcome in.
Hey, Anita, how's it going?
Great, welcome.
Thanks. I'm a big Knicks fan. I try to think of myself as a realistic Knicks fan. So I think it's time for a big trade. I think they look a lot like that Nets team before they did trade for KD. You know, you hope the results are better. And in a funny way, I feel like Giannis is kind of prime for the Knicks. You know, this aging guy who clearly has a back problem that's starting up. You know, kind of, you know, the cynic in me is kind of typical Knicks. That guy, if he came to the Knicks, who knows? But you know, I'm ready for it. You know, they look prime.
And you're ready for it. You're willing. You're ready, Javier, to give up RJ quickly, Grimes, Mitch Robinson. You're ready to give up that package along with 5 to 6 first round draft picks to bring in an Embiid, to bring in a Giannis. You're ready for it.
All the guys you named, I honestly don't think any of them have, you know, star written on them. You know, RJ maybe has the potential to take a step up, but overall, like, you know, they are all role players. Like, that's the price of doing that kind of business. And, you know, at this point, you know, the Knicks have been such a joke for a long time. It's very refreshing to know that, you know, it's time. People are willing to come to the Knicks. You know, I think, you know, just hoping for better days.
It's interesting you say hoping for better days, Javier. Like, I think the season was a huge success. I really do. I know, disappointing in regards to they didn't get through Miami. But look at what Miami took, went the distance with Boston. Okay, look at what they were able to do. So you know, based on the fact that the Miami Heat now are in the championship. Granted, as Nick and I were talking about, like, I just don't think that they've got a lot of gas left. But to me, I think this was an uber successful season. But I'm in agreement with you. I think the Knicks need another big piece in order to make that leap and really become a true legit contender in the postseason. But at the same time, you're teetering on that line of not giving up too much that now you don't have the supporting cast that you need in order to truly go out and win a championship, right? It's difficult. 800-919-3776. We come back. We'll continue with your calls right here on 98.7 ESPN.